AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
There's no doubt over the last 25 years, Ireland has changed. Our voices have got louder, our culture has reached further, and some extraordinary people have helped to shape it all. From trailblazers in the arts and social change, leaders in sport, music, and on the big screen, we're counting down the most influential Irish people of the last 25 years. And today we are going to talk about our writers. Now, we had a long list, and I'll just give you some of the names that didn't make it onto the five on the short list, which people were voting on. And we'll give you the overall winner in just a few moments' time. Those that didn't make it onto the shortlist, Maeve Binchy, Cecilia Hearn, John Banville, Claire Keegan, Emma Donoghue, Colin McCann, Michael Harding, Paul Murray, Donal Ryan, Emer McLysett, Sarah Breen, Liz Nugent, Kathy Kelly, Colm Tobin, Anne Enright, Paul Lynch, Maggie O'Farrell, Joseph O'Connor, Owen Colfer, Kevin Barry, Andrea Marr, and you could add another 25, I'm sure, to that list. But we are down to the last five, and to talk about who they are and why they are important, I'm joined by Susan Walsh from Dubray Books and Megan Scully, podcaster and author. Good morning and welcome to the programme.
Good morning.
Okay, you've seen the top five.
We have.
So generally, before we talk about them individually, what do you think?
Well, I think they were the five authors that would definitely trip off the top of your head if you were talking about Irish authors today, or certainly over the last 25 years. I mean, they're all incredibly influential and huge bestsellers. They've all reached a lot, you know, critical acclaim as well as
because the thing
success.
Is influential, and that's something that maybe someone who's a brilliant writer may not have turned out to be that influential.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, with some of these, like, they're very much so now ingrained in like pop culture, and when it comes to social media and you see clips of them, and I think now you also see their faces, the authors, whereas maybe back pre-social media, you almost didn't know what the authors looked like, whereas now we know what they look like, we know what they sound like. And I think they've just, if they're hitting, I think, multi-generations, that's when they really become influential, when there's young and old alike, all, you know, either watching them and reading them and knowing who they are.
Yeah. I suppose, and I don't know how the final shortlist of five was chosen, but it might be a generational thing, because I would think that the most influential person on Irish writing generally might have been Maeve Binchy.
I agree with you.
Made the breakthrough, you know.
If this poll was happening maybe 10 years ago, Maeve Binchy would have ruled the roost, I'm sure of it, you know.
But she made it possible for so many others. That's the point I would make.
Yeah.
That, you know, she was published internationally. Her books were turned into movies. And
And she was. And she was, I think, as well, though, I feel like she actually was someone who featured on our television screens growing up. For me, she was always on the television, so I knew what Maeve Binchy looked like and sounded like. And she was the top of the list when it came to even fame as an Irish writer as well.
We always refer to her as Queen Maeve, and everybody knew who you were talking about.
And she was a brilliant raconteur. Absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic.
So what do you think makes an influential writer?
Well, I think a lot of these authors as well, and I mean, they all have incredible best-selling novels and books that, you know, are all over in the displays in the bookshops. You'll see them everywhere. Their new titles really are greeted with great anticipation. But they also write in a lot of other spheres. A lot of them, you know, have their own columns in the paper. They write reviews, screenplays. They act as ghostwriters, such as Paul Howard and Roddy Doyle also wrote as ghostwriters. So, you know, they have a lot of kind of different channels where they're reaching different readers.
Megan?
Yeah, and I have to agree there with Susan on that, because I think it's the ones that maybe, as I mentioned, that you can have conversations with when you're at the coffee machine, or if you're having a chat with your friends, maybe in your WhatsApp group, and it's like, what are you reading? And then suddenly it starts and sparks this conversation. And I do think, again, those that have been adapted to films and to TV series have really kind of defined the way for what makes them an influential author as well.
Well, speaking of someone who's actually in the business of telly at the moment, we'll start with Marion Keyes, best known for her big romantic stories. Her 16th novel, My Favourite Mistake, is released just at the moment. Marion Keyes spoke about giving real voice and rom-com style romance to middle-aged women through the story of Anna Walsh.
But it's kind of like whatever is going on for me at the time, or whatever interests me. And I think, okay, I can match that to this character.
Right.
And, you know, with this one, this character, Anna, she was kind of the right age for what I wanted to write about. So, like, she's in her late 40s, and I wanted to write a love story about people in midlife.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we don't get much, you know, because people think you age out of falling in love at 32.
Yeah.
And, like, you don't. Like, I see it around me all the time.
Yeah.
And especially people are doing those kind of second things of, you know, my two characters, Anna and Joey, have been in love with each other on and off for, like, 20 years, but never really at the same time.
Sure.
They both married other people, and now neither of them are married, and they've ended up in the same place. And it's about how you deal with falling in love when you are less young. And I don't think...
not old.
That's not old. Yeah, that's the thing. You see, the whole idea of ageing has changed.
So what do you think?
I love that she says less young, and I love the way Marion Keyes, I think as well, she's such a distinguished voice. Like, when you do hear her on the radio, you know who it is before you even hear her name. And I love watching interviews with her as well, because she has such a great energy. And I love the way that she brings her characters. Like, I think that character was, she first wrote about her in 95 when she was in her, we'll say, early 20s. And now the character's obviously... No, am I doing the math right there now? Well, anyways, we'll say it's 20 years later, and she's writing about her now and how much her life has changed. And she really touches on real life that, you know, we're all experiencing living. Yeah. And
speaking as somebody who's less young, I mean, we grew up with Marion Keyes books. I mean, I would, on my entire book trade over almost 30 years, is like Marion Keyes was such an important part of it. She's absolutely fantastic.
We'll move on to someone else who's rather more recent in terms of prominence, but is very, very prominent indeed. And that's Sally Rooney. Rose to global fame in COVID when that TV series adapted of her book Normal People. It starred Paul Mescal, of course, who's now a global superstar, and Daisy Edgar-Jones. So we want to remind ourselves of the moment when Mescal's character, Connell, reunites with Marianne at a party in Trinity College.
I've missed you.
Yeah. Yeah, you too. I was a bit worried when you left school and that. I was pretty down about it.
Well, never hung out much during school hours.
Oh, yeah.
What about Rachel? Are you still together?
How'd you hear about that? Through your brother?
Saw photos on Facebook.
Oh, we broke up, actually.
Oh. Sorry.
I don't think we were that compatible, really.
Hmm.
What?
No, I just, I reckon I could have told you that.
Well, maybe you should. It would have helped, actually. You weren't really replying to my texts at the time, so...
Felt somewhat abandoned, Connell.
Yeah, I felt a bit abandoned myself, didn't I?
That brings it back.
I
that
know, doesn't
stilted,
it?
Awkward coming of age. I mean, she really struck a chord with so many reasons.
A very modern worldwide. Irish story, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Phenomenal. It was just incredible. I remember watching that series and it just really, like, it evoked such emotion. Like, even there, I felt awkward. I was like, Connell, I was like, no, don't, come on. Say something else. And it was, do you know what I liked about it as well? It was a very slow series, but it really captivated you. And I think if a series can keep me off my phone throughout an episode, yeah, I'm in.
Well, the book will also.
Yeah.
And it did even before the TV series. Yeah. I mean, the book was just a phenomenal bestseller. I mean, yeah.
And then,
worldwide.
Of course, you got a new life after the TV series. Absolutely. And she's had, is it two books since then?
Yeah, the Intermezzo is the most recent one. It's out in paperback, yeah.
Now, we want to move on to someone also who made the big screen, and that is John Boyne. And the book in question is The Boy in the Striped Pyjamas. It was adapted in film, and it brought to life the characters of Bruno and Schmall.
Hello. I'm exploring. What are you doing?
We're building a new hut.
Have you got lots of friends over there?
A few. But we fight a lot. That's why I like being out here. I can be on my own.
I'm Bruno.
Schmall.
Sorry?
I'm Schmall.
That's your name. Never heard of anyone called that before.
I've never heard of anyone called Bruno.
But Schmall. No one's called Schmall.
Megan.
Oh, I just feel so emotional even just hearing that clip. What an incredible book that was. And of course, adapted into that movie. And it was just, that's one that's going to go down for the ages.
Yeah.
The impact it's had.
Yeah, it's been on school lists, I think, before the movie, long since it was published.
Some people think of books like that this could be a one-hit wonder, but not in the case of John. He's gone on and on to write brilliantly.
Yeah, yeah. I did a little handy fox book with my 13-year-old the other day, and The only author he knew from the list was John Boyne, because, of course, they all read Boyne's Striped Pyjamas in primary school, and they still are, which is, you know, it's using this as an educational tool. And he writes different characters so well, like from the point
and
of view of
his versatility is astonishing, yeah. Really, yeah. In terms of his output.
And the Hearts Invisible Furies, I only read that, I think it was only about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, and I was really captivated by it. But I was saying to Susan, when I first started reading it, I don't know, I obviously just didn't read much about it before I opened up the pages.
Oh, it's a brilliant book. It's a big book too.
Big book. I thought it was an autobiography when I started, and then after a while I was going, this man has had an incredible life. And then after a while I was like, wait a second, I'm not reading.
No. A phenomenal book. My colleagues at work used to always mock me nearly because it was just the number one book for so long. Yeah. I read it literally in 2 days. And it took me that long because I had children, I had to stop and feed them. But I mean, it was just almost in one sitting. It is just, you inhale it. He's just such an easy writer. And yeah.
Our next author, his work spans across the decades, and he has written in many different genres. And you already mentioned him as even getting involved in ghostwriting, things like that, I think famously with Roy Keane. We're talking about Roddy Doyle. And of course, the characters that he created, and there were many, but I suppose the personification of his characters is Colm Meaney, who plays in all of these movies. And have a listen to this.
Sharon, it's not fair! You've been in there ages!
How dare you leave Sharon alone!
You all right in there, Sharon?
Yeah, come on.
No, there's no worry. No, I've been in already.
Oh,
Jesus, what were you drinking last night?
I'm going back to bed.
Oh, yeah, come on. Good girl. Now, I'll go on without you, what?
Yeah, what's up before?
You shut your mouth. Get in there and get your clothes on. Go down and get your breakfast and get a bleeding job for yourself, right?
And we needed that after buying the Striped Pyjamas.
I mean, there was commitments in the snapper of the van. I mean, brilliantly funny movies. And
Fantastic, it's
extraordinary. Such local Dublin movies that became global.
Oh, the snapper. Well, it's Christmas time now, so it means the snapper is going to be on television, which I love it. And I watch it every single season, and I can't get enough of it. It's just such a super movie.
Yeah, I often
wonder, I mean, the Sharon in question, Shedden. I wonder how many Sharons are now called Shedden.
George Burgess. Go down in history.
And Burgess. I mean, anyone whose name is Mr. Burgess, after that. Because Sharon at this point has morning sickness. That's why she's in the bathroom, and it hasn't dawned on anyone yet exactly what's going on. So we're going to kind of pivot a little bit. If Roddy Doyle is the champion of the North Side, it's fair to say that I think Paul Howard does the same for the South Side. The idea of Ross O'Carroll Kelly famously came to Paul Howard from the culture shock of his experience as a reporter attending the school's rugby matches. He was a journalist there sent on to do this report, and what has become, I suppose, a humorous character for many. Initially, someone that Howard himself didn't really care for. Have a listen.
Because I hated Ross, and I hated people. The first few books were born out of rage about Ross O'Carroll Kelly type people, and I didn't see the world from that point of view. And I suppose the longer I went on, you couldn't write about a character for 22 years without having some kind of empathy for him, without seeing the world from his point of view. And I suppose he's this kid who, you know, he's born into the world. His dad tells him he's going to be the greatest rugby player who ever lived when he's like 3 years of age. His mother isn't bothered by him. He's sent to this school where he's told he's essentially the second coming of Christ because he can play rugby. And then he wins the school's cup, but nothing happens after that. What happens to this kid when he's prepared for this lifetime of glory and stardom and all the rest? And his life sort of falls off a cliff. It never gets better than it was at 18 years of age.
And that's his tragedy, I suppose. The writing is phenomenal, and a growing affection in the author himself for his own character, which is wonderful to see.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember in 2000 I took a sabbatical and had to re-familiarise myself with the bestsellers when I came back to work, and the best-selling book of the year was the Orange Mocha Chip Frappuccino Year. So I was like, who let somebody publish this book? And, I mean, since then it's just been Paul Howard, Ross O'Carroll Kelly. It's just such an important part of the book-selling trade every year. We missed him this year.
And of course, at the beginning, he disguised the schools. Blackrock College wasn't Blackrock. It was called something else. But he stopped doing that. And, I think, what was Ross drinking at the beginning?
Hynoe, isn't it?
No, he's Heino now.
Yeah, Miller, yeah. Heino, much more South Dublin.
It was just so, I guess, again, it became such a movement, though. But like he said at the start, he didn't like the character, but it caused a lot of rage around. Because remember, everyone was trying to figure out who was he? And I think rugby players and people that lived out in the area were getting kind of accosted on the street, being like, are you Ross O'Carroll Kelly? And I was like, it's not me. Yeah. And it kind of just, but then everyone grew to love Ross O'Carroll Kelly.
Absolutely love him. I mean, he's got his own plaque up around the place.
I mean, it's not fantasy. I mean, for the rugby mother, I mean, the greatest triumph in her life is going to be presenting the Senior Cup to the winning captain, who is her son.
That's it, you see. You got to get the Junior Cup first, then the Senior Cup. And it is, it's a huge stepping stone for so many young people's careers from the rugby pitch that has gotten them onto the next phase of their life. So it's, you know, and my brother went to a boarding school in the west of Ireland, and rugby was... It was, you know, it was a huge occasion. I used to get taken out of school just to go watch the school's rugby. Yeah.
All right, it's time to declare our winner of the aforementioned people, Paul Howard and John Boyne, Marion Keyes, Sally Rooney, and the winner is Roddy Doyle.
Ah, oh, really?
Congratulations.
A comfortable win, but the rest did all score well, I have to say. So the people who drew up the shortlist got it right. But Roddy has done so much in terms of literacy and...
Absolutely. His Fighting Words campaign. I mean, and he looked very much at home on the Booker judging panel, chairing the judging panel this year alongside Sarah Jessica Parker. And
And I've heard people say, you know, it's a tedious job, but Roddy said he loved it, absolutely loved it.
And I think even if we had done this 25 years ago, Roddy would have been almost a shoe in to win then as well. Like, you know, so he's just iconic. Yeah.
Thank you very much for taking the trouble to be with us this morning as we announce our winner. So, in literature, in writing, Roddy Doyle is our very worthy winner. Susan Walsh from Dubray Books and Megan Scully, podcaster and author, thank you both very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.